It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Atlanta, thanks for showing up, Shasky. Thanks for showing up, Trey Young. Thanks for showing up, Ricochet. Thanks for showing up, Jalen Johnson. Jeez Louise, game was over after the first quarter.
God, I have so many bigger NBA thoughts about a game like last night, and it obviously calendar. And then like you want the audience to care about your product, and clearly the players don't, right? I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying like teams like the Hawks are literally showing you they don't care about the game. And then there's this whole brand conversation as the Warriors unveil another uniform. I mean, what was the amount of money that the NBA just signed for with all of their new trade partners?
Billions.
Yeah, like billions, 10 or 11 billion.
Billions of
how
billions.
How much money could they truly be making off the fans for these one-off uniforms that they make? Like, how much money? You're making $10 billion. So I thought the uniforms, honestly, are ugly. That's just me. I loved how the court looked. I thought the court was really cool.
What, the Warriors uniforms?
Yeah, I didn't like them at all.
I like them.
I don't like them at all. Yeah, I don't like the red, white, blue, yellow, We Believe era Warrior uniforms. I get why you're trying to do a homage to them and go back to that, but like I just
those uniforms, I kind of like them with the ridge piping.
You like them? I don't. That's fine. I liked how the court was. I thought that was really cool and unique. How the bridge with the fog and all that. But like, if I'm just tuning into a random game and I'm a random casual NBA fan, I have no idea who's even playing on the floor. Number one, because there's so many uniforms. Number two, it's like this is the effort level. This is the effort level of what is supposed to be a premium player in the NBA of Trae Young.
Well, I don't think people view him as a premium player anymore. And you know, when you watch him, and Andrew Wiggins did a fine job on him,
Andrew
keeping
Wiggins
him up to paint. 4-12 from the floor. Trae Young, 1-6 from the 3-point line. Look, they won 3-4. They beat Boston. They beat Sacramento up in the state capitol. But they got rolled yesterday. And I think about Trae Young, the leader, because they have some good talent. This Ricochet kid, I like him. Zachary Ricochet, the number one overall pick. I like Jalen Johnson. I like Dyson Daniels. Click Capella, whatever. I'm cool with that. And
I've always liked Capella. I'm kind of with you there. I've always liked him as a role player.
I've liked DeAndre Hunter. I think he's a good two-way player.
And he tries hard.
And he plays hard. Yeah, he's a national champion from Virginia. So there is talent on that roster. But when your leader in Trae Young, like he turned the ball over the second quarter on one possession, and the Warriors grab it. He doesn't even hustle for the ball, for the loose ball. He doesn't even cross half court to get back on defense. That's your leader. So when you have a leader like that, Trae Young, who went to advanced to one postseason and he got to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's talking about the next season, 8 games in, I'm bored with the regular season. It's boring playing the regular. Like, Trae Young, you haven't done anything yet. Nothing. So that moniker, that stigma's kind of just following him. It's hovering over him with the Atlanta Hawks. And I just think at some point they're going to have to make a decision. Do we build around Trae Young? Or do we move off of Trae Young and start to build off our young assets here with Jalen Johnson, Dyson Daniels, and Zachary Ricochet? So it was an embarrassing performance by the Atlanta Hawks in the last 3 quarters. And the Warriors fell into the trap because they got sloppy in the second half.
It got really ugly. And so I think this is my biggest takeaway from yesterday's game. Another win. You got to stack the wins.
Stack wins.
I love the demeanor of Steve Kerr in a lot of these, what I would call blowout games, where they take their foot off the gas, they allow a team back. I'm just thinking about the last 2 years. I don't think we would scoff at a win like this. Seeing him, they would just, we're just happy we won. We won big. We were in total control. Not only are they in total control, and then they kind of take their foot off the gas, the coach is coming out and he's critiquing the wins very harshly. And then you have leaders like Draymond Green coming to the podium and he's like, me and Steve sat down, and I know we have sound, I'm sure, that associates it, but I'm paraphrasing. We sat down, we were going over all of my turnovers, and then I look at the game where he's got 9 assists and 3 turnovers. I told you, 3-1. That's 2.5 to 3.5 to 1 is like the sweet spot for ball handlers. And I'm seeing that assist to turnover ratio from Draymond Green. I just think that he's doing a really good job of setting this team up. I want to know right now, is there anywhere where I can bet this, that the Warriors coming out of halftime in every game are going to throw a lob on the whatever high pick and roll with Draymond and TJD to start the second half? Yeah. I swear to God, they do it on the first two or three possessions every single time.
Draymond Green, 3 turnovers yesterday, 9 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. He had 6 turnovers Monday night against the LA Clippers, and he was really ticked off after the Clipper game, saying, man, this is on me. I got to be better. I sucked tonight. And he was talking to Chris DeMarco because he was mic'd up for ABC Sports Bay Area about his turnovers. Man, I got to do better here. Steph had 5 turnovers, but I look at the first half when his game was over. Oh, hi, Lemon. How you doing? In the first half, the Golden State Warriors up big against the Atlanta Hawks. They're up 25 at the half. And I look at the turnovers in the half. Just five. Draymond had 1. Steph had 2. They have 5 as a team. Now, again, it got a little sloppy in the second half.
It did.
Players always say this. I've been hearing it for a long, long time when it comes to the NBA. Worst thing to happen is having a 20-point lead so early. However, on the flip side, you don't want to be down 20. So the Warriors go up 20 right away, 21 in the first quarter. And then they go up 31 in the first half. And yeah, it was going to get a little sloppy. It's tough to beat a team by 50 or going. And, you know, your intensity level goes out because you're like, dude, we're up 25 on the Hawks. The Hawks are probably thinking about Chicago right now, flying out of the Bay Area and just getting to Chicago. So they got a little sloppy in the second half. But the first half, they got back to the fundamentals. Free throw shooting, they were 7 of 8. Turnovers, they only turned the ball over 5 times. And they only gave up 1 point off that turnover. The points off turnovers at halftime was 15-1. Their points in the paint was dominant. So they took care of their business in the first half. And Andrew Wiggins and Steph, they were all aggressive. It was just a good win, stack wins, with some things to clean up on the backside.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins has been awesome. We'll get to him in a little bit. But the Steph Curry stuff, he does at times get very careless with the ball. And he makes up for it with some of his threes. Like late, he hit some just sick threes. I mean, some of these double step backs that he's doing now, like that's kind of one of his patented moves, is the hop back twice and then let me just rip this 3-pointer, nothing but net or back iron. But there are some transition situations where I think he gets a little sloppy, a little careless. Draymond got a little careless late. And,
yeah, they got sloppy.
You know, but for me, it's the ire of Steve Kerr when they were, I think they were up like 16 or 14. He's like, I'm calling a timeout. Out right now. We're nipping this in the bud. I'm not letting this get any farther. I just think that Steve Kerr's been on it this year. You know, I've critiqued him at times in the past, and I think that when someone does really well, if we're going to crush someone, let's also praise them when it feels like their foot is on the gas pedal. It feels like Steve is having a monster year.
No, we don't praise people when they do good.
But he's been really good.
That's not how society works these days, Shasky. We only rip people when they do bad. We don't give any
credit. But I like his sense of urgency.
I'm kidding.
I know, but I really do appreciate his sense of urgency this year. It feels like he knows he's got a good team, and he's really trying to just kind of like not allow some of the little plays to like seep into long stretches. And like I had issues with when he called timeouts, lineups, things like that. I feel like he's just on it this year.
Here's what Steve Kerr liked about last night.
I love the first half. The first half was very aesthetically pleasing. We let our guard down a little bit, especially late third quarter. You know, it just the game got away from us a little bit, but the energy, the sharp play in the first half was really fun to watch. So we just got to keep building on that.
And at 11-3, their next 3 games against New Orleans, San Antonio, and in Brooklyn. You have 3 games here where you can look up and say, boy, can you run the table? You go 3-0, and next thing you know, after Monday night, you could be 14-3 on the season, because you know what? You have to stack wins because the West is loaded this year. Lakers on a 6-game winning streak. Next you look up, you're like, wait a minute, we're playing so well. Lakers are a game behind us. OKC's tied with you because of the wins, losses, or whatnot, percentage points. The Rockets are 11-5. The Nuggets are 8-5. But so you know, you look up and Denver's won a couple games without Nikola Jokic. Minnesota's lurking in the cut. So this West, as Phoenix was rolling so far, they've lost 5 in a row without Kevin Durant. They've lost 5 in a row without Kevin Durant. So stack of wins here. Steve Kerr's on it. And to your point about pushing all the right buttons, Kerr has been really, really good. In the first Clipper game, he sat Draymond for basically the last 6-7 minutes, said, I'm going to ride with the lineup that got us back in the game. He's pushing all the right buttons. And now the next button he's going to have to push is finding out who could play alongside Steph and the rest of the starters on the first 5. who's going to fill in for De'Anthony Melton? Because as we're 16 minutes into the show, or 10 minutes into the show, in case you haven't heard, De'Anthony Melton is out for the season with an ACL injury. He sprained his left ACL on Clay Day against the Dallas Mavericks. He did it in the second quarter, ended up playing the entire game, clearly hitting one of the key threes in that game from the top of the key until Steph scored the final 12. But Melton in his last two games is 7-14 from three, shooting 50%. He's a lifetime 37% shooter, and he's a 26-year-old who can't stay on the floor right now, which has really derailed his career. He played 38 games last year for Philadelphia. He had already missed five games with the lower back strain this season. You just feel for the kid because he's a good player. But it's also why some teams was hesitant to sign him this past offseason because they thought, boy, is his back going to hold up? Is something going to happen to him? And I just feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Warriors because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And this was the ultimate prove-it year next to Stephen Curry, next to Draymond Green. And Melton was a good dude. He was already fitting in with the roster. So to me, this is a massive, massive blow to the Golden State Warriors. And I'm looking at a couple guys to step up here in place of De'Anthony Melton. Lindy Waters III, obviously, is getting the first crack at it. Moses Moody, I think, is another guy that I look to. Is like, can he pick up the scoring of the defense? And then it's Brandon Podziemski, and we'll get to him in just a second. But somebody's going to have to step up here next to Steph and in his first five to replace De'Anthony Melton. Because what a blow this is for the Warriors, Shafsky.
Oh, poor guy. That's just snake bit by the body and being injured. And look, I know that Steve had kind of said something to the effect of, like, now these are a little more routine ACL injuries. But, you know, I kind of thought that with Clay, you know, and you just never know. You never know what's going to happen to someone's body, how they're going to react. Could they overcompensate? Like, is the rehab longer than you think? They could come back fine, you know, and I'm praying and hoping for the kid that that's the case. Once we heard, like, second opinion, I was like, oh, no, that's
not good.
That's not good. Like, that's probably not good. You're looking for somebody who can say you can play through it or whatever, right? And trying to avoid something. It just sucks. And the part that really stinks is that he's a great little ball handler. He rebounds really well for his size. Defensively, he's excellent. He could shoot the ball. He really was an ideal fit alongside Steph Curry. And it is a major loss. And when you hear the entire team really express how big of a hurt this is and how they had plans for him.
Yep.
And I think that they were going to try to navigate the injury stuff throughout the year. And now that's just off the table. Lindy Waters, it feels like early on, is going to get opportunities. And it doesn't feel like this is the, like when they used to, like, hey, we'll start Zaza and then we'll take him out.
Right.
And we maybe won't go back to him at times. It feels like Lindy's going to get a chance to get a lot of overlapping minutes as the two.
Played 23 minutes and 5 seconds last night, 4-9 from the field, 2-5 for the 3-point line. He's long. He's an active defender. Now, Trae Young at times are getting 2 feet of paint against him, but I wonder if Lindy Waters III is still compromised with the hyperextension in his right knee. Lucky that he wasn't out for a long period of time after that block shot against Memphis in the second quarter this past Friday night. But Lindy Waters III is going to get a crack. And I think about this with Lindy Waters III. He doesn't look overwhelmed. The moment doesn't look too big for him. He's out there trying to play and hustle and play hard. And I want him to shoot more. You know, I want him to shoot the three more. He said he got that strap on him, and I do believe that he has that strap on him when it comes to shooting the three ball. So just be a little more aggressive if you're Lindy Waters III, but third straight start for him, and I don't think he looks overwhelmed, and he has good size at that position, and I think Lindy Waters could defend. I really do.
Well, it's a great opportunity for him. You know, you're buried on the depth chart at OKC. You get traded over to the Warriors, and, you know, Steve has been talking about him having the best camp of anyone, right? And so clearly Steve Kerr likes him. And that's a great start, because if Steve likes you, you're going to get chances. And then it feels like he fits kind of the flow of the team.
He does.
He's brought the ball up a lot. I know it doesn't really matter who brings the ball, because it's not like there's like old school, high school basketball, the 96-foot pressure. But he's been bringing the ball up every now and then. And I've been actually more impressed with his mobility and his passing, because I just thought he was a stationary shooter.
No, he can move.
Yeah, you know, he can. And so I just think this is a great chance for him. I think Moody's going to get some looks at times. GP2's obviously still going to get some looks. And I think keeping Buddy and Kuminga off the bench for right now, I think that's the smartest thing they can do, because they've got great 1-2 punch scoring off the bench.
I love it.
I don't want to mess that.
No, I mess with that. I don't want to mess with it either. Buddy Hield, Jonathan Kuminga, they came in that first quarter right away. It's 14 points. And so this is what we're talking about here. You have your first five, and then you have your reserves. It's not about bench players. It's about who fits, who doesn't. And Kuminga, in that first quarter, even though he was 1 of 3, he was being ultra-aggressive, scored 6 points. Buddy Hield was 3 of 3. Now, they didn't end up shooting great from the floor. As Steve Kerr mentioned, and as everybody could see, the game got really sloppy. Buddy Hield finished 4 of 11, and Kuminga 3 of 9. But Kuminga goes 3 of 4 for the free throw line. He's going downhill. He's being aggressive. He's crashing the lane. He's trying to grab rebounds. And last night, 6 rebounds for Jonathan Kuminga. So as we track Kuminga and how aggressive he is, there were 6 rebounds for J.K. off the bench. So that 1-2 punch, I'm with you. I want to keep that the same. I want them dudes coming in, dropping 30 to 40 every single night off that bench.
Yeah, I do too. And I know that people are going to look at like Kuminga's minute log and maybe the points total. And oh, my God, he's not playing enough. He's not getting enough. I think it's fine. I think that they're really getting a good version of Jonathan Kuminga, and he's going to be asked to do more as time goes on. I think everyone needs to chill.
Yeah, Melton's gone. Melton's gone for the season. So Kuminga will play.
All right.
Guys are going to get minutes.
I'm sorry. Don't you think they're going to rest? Like, you're going to, when you build up the cushion that they have,
right,
you're going to have strategical nights where Curry and or Draymond are sitting, or you're staggering the sitting. And so there's going to be nights where he's going to be asked to carry the load. The dog days are coming.
No doubt the dog days are coming.
So I think everyone needs to relax.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who's getting outraged.
Well, but I just think that people want to see Kuminga on a night where they're up a lot, get more than the minutes that he got.
What's the pitch line? Stay off the internet.
Well, I don't think it's just the internet. It's like my friends, you know? Like,
yeah, stay off the internet. Tell your friends, relax.
I mean, you're up 25. Right. Why can't he play 32 minutes?
Yeah, relax, dude. Relax. Take a chill pill, Shasky's boys. Take a chill pill. Very astute observation here. I don't feel comfortable talking about it because he just got hurt, but the 650 Comcast business text line, it is something to monitor with De'Anthony Melton as an unrestricted free agent. Now, Bobby Marks reported that the Warriors could go in for the disabled player exception. However, they're only $500,000 and some change under that first apron. So if they do use that DPE, the disabled player exception, it's 50% of De'Anthony Melton's contract, which is about $6.4 million, half of what he's making, the 12.8 this season. So if you do use that exception for another player, you're going to go into the first apron. So you're not going to, the Warriors are probably not going to trigger that. However, as the 650s bring it up, if you trade Melton, do you clear that salary and maybe get another player back for the same price point? It's something to monitor here as teams maybe try to get money off the books here. I don't know, but it's a little early for that. We could ask about that a little later.